Fighters, what's going on? I'm super excited to bring you this interview here today. You know, the last several episodes, we've been on this little series about conquering your sales, talking about a lot of stuff. Got a lot more to talk about, but I wrapped up the series today with an interview with somebody who's been instrumental in my life and who I am and where I am. And that's Steven Schinholzer. He's the co-founder of the Contractor Sales Academy. Him and I co-founded this thing almost 6 years ago or whatever it is. We've learned a lot about each other, really supported each other, had a great partnership. We ended up bringing on a third partner, our buddy Derek Johnson, who's been on the show before. But Steve and I just have a pretty cool conversation here today just about what it means to really conquer your sales and things that get in our way. And Steve goes over five key components to having success in sales. We talk a little bit about our sales process that's called the Shin Fu. And let me tell you, this was a really great conversation from a guy who's helped God knows how many people become better, make more money, have better lives, better marriages, more balance in their life, and things like that. So, guys, anyway, without further ado, here is my buddy, Steven Schinholzer. Steve, what's going on, man?
How you doing, Tom?
You know, I'm just chilling out here on a Wednesday morning talking to you. You're in Maryland, I'm in Colorado, and I thought no better way to end this series on conquering your sales than having my co-founder of the Contractor Sales Academy on just to shoot the shit a little bit about what we've seen, what we've learned, pick your brain a bit on how you go about conquering sales and stuff like that, man. So I appreciate you carving out the time to do this.
Well, I'm lucky to be here, to be honest with you. I can think we've been at this, 6 years?
Yeah.
And like, I'm moving around my house with a laptop on Zoom right now because I have people vacuuming different rooms and I'm trying to stay quiet. But I remember our very first episode. I couldn't even get on the call.
Our first training in the academy. That's right.
Yeah. And I was hitting the button. See, I'm so new, or was so new, that if all I could do is click a link, and if anything went wrong, I couldn't fix it. And it took me 8 minutes. Our very first, and we were getting paid for this stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I forget how many people, we had like 50 people on our first campaign together, and I couldn't even get on the freaking call.
Well, fast forward, it was a few months ago, you were on our team call with all our drivers and leaders, and somebody couldn't figure something out, and you said, oh, the button's here, you have to do this. Yeah. So you've kind of 180'd on that.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn when you have to learn. You learn or you die. I mean, yeah. Anybody, just think of us, Tom, just even 15 years ago, we barely knew how to work computers.
Right. So. Yeah. Now now we're doing it all on a phone. You know, I mean, I could pretty much get rid of my computer if I wanted to and run pretty much everything from the phone. But like I said before, I've had this series on conquering your sales and done a number of episodes. I don't know, it's probably 8 or 10 episodes that we did where it was all geared around sales. And I talked about things like how making money's easy. You just got to get it in your head that it's easy. I talked about building confidence, about how your income reveals your mindset. Talked about why the motive is so important, some other shit like that. We have a number of things that we talk about in our academy. But I'm just curious, because we don't script these, so we're just shooting the shit like you and I usually do. What's it look like to conquer your sales? Like, what are some fundamental things you think have to be in place for somebody to really be able to go, I'm kicking ass here in this area?
First off, we all have, whether you admit it or not, just a shitload. Can we cuss on this one?
You can fucking swear all you want, man. So
we, because of our upbringing, we have a lot of head trash about money. Mm-hmm. And it is probably the most difficult topic to overcome, and you cannot be an effective good salesperson until you overcome that, because unless you're selling something for free, which means you're not selling, you're giving something away. So if you don't get over your own head trash with the money, you're just not going to sell, period. And the other thing you have to get over quickly is rejection. Mm. You got to hear a bunch of no's, and you got to be okay with hearing a bunch of no's. I think it was David Sandler when he went out and he set up all these field offices for Sandler sales training.
Yeah.
These people are like, I don't know how to run an office. I don't know how to sell. He goes, here's all you have to do. I want you to report every day back to the main office how many no's you get. And the first one to get to 100 no's or something like that gets a prize. Well, what he was doing is setting these people up. And of course, they got a lot of no's, but they also got a lot of yeses all along the way.
Yeah.
And so he, without them even knowing it, just got them used to rejection. And so you got to be used to that rejection.
Resilience, you know, you got to have some resilience, a lot of resilience, you know, just to keep getting bashed in the face and dealing with objections and people ghosting you and blowing you off and all that crap. So first thing you said was the head trash. You grew up where you always knew when it was payday because your family, mom came home with McDonald's, right?
McDonald's, that's exactly right.
And then you eventually ended up having a different taste of the other side. Yeah. What was that about? Because I think that was instrumental in your head starting to go, hey, wait, you know, you were hanging out with some different people.
So I have 7 siblings. So there was mom, dad, 8 kids, and my old man made $38,000 in today's money.
Yeah.
$38,000. It was $4,500 back then, but
damn,
$38,000, you know how much money we didn't have, but as luck would have it, I turned out to be a pretty good springboard diver, and I would have to go dive twice a day, every day during the summertime at the Country Club of Virginia. So I got the, and I ultimately hung out there all day long, picking up trash, lifeguarding, things like that. So I got to actually make friends with and see from the inside out how rich people live. And that was totally foreign to me. I mean, but I was like a sponge, man. I'm like, you mean you can have a car like this? You can have a car that smells like leather inside? I've never even seen such a thing. I remember the first time I got invited to go to the beach. I go to the Virginia Beach and all the other country club kids are at the beach too. And I thought, well, what a coincidence. Everybody went down together. And then I realized that no, they plan their life like this. Mm. And then the other thing I learned, which blew me away, I remember the first time I spent the night at Chris Coger's house. I'm like, it's Friday night, we get McDonald's. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, well, it's payday. McDonald's comes home. He goes, what do you mean payday? And then it dawned on me that the rich kids, they don't understand a payday. So I figured out that the rich kids didn't understand when payday was, because every day was the same to them. It was all like Saturday to them.
Well, it's funny, you know, we run our mouths a lot in the CSA about the importance of who you hang out with. And that's what I see that happened there. You started hanging out with people living at a different level. And at some point, it started dealing with your head trash around the fact that you don't always have to stay in that economic situation you were in growing up. I mean, dude, we have people join to get better as a salesperson, and they learn their skills, and then they stay for the community, right? They stay because of the culture and the relationships, and talk a little bit about the importance of who you hang out with.
Yeah, well, here's the deal with all that is, you know, they think they come for sales, and then they realize they're surrounded by 150 to 200 people that are on their same journey, thinking like them, and then they're watching people actually make the transition, because we post a lot of successes and a lot of wins on our site, on our Facebook page. And then they have never been around their entire life those people mm-hmm. that think like them, that want to go to the same places they want to go to. And it turns out that you are the average of the people that you hang out with.
Yeah.
So this is imperative that you surround yourself with the same group of people to go where you want to go. And that's all I've ever done in my entire life, is just try to hang out with people better than me that are going the same place I want to go. You know, what is that saying? If you want something to happen in your life, find someone else who's actually making that shit happen and just copy them.
Just copy them. Yep. Don't overcomplicate it. Yep. Well, on our, and for those of you guys that are listening right now, we, Steve and I, with our other business partner, Derek, have a podcast we do weekly called Contractor Sales Academy Podcast. And I think we recorded yesterday, and wasn't it yesterday that we just talked about Derek's, like, Derek went from not making a lot of money to making a shit ton of money in a very quick amount of time. And it ends up being a partner and sales coach and all this other stuff. And if you ask him, he'll eventually get to the brass tacks of it, of just going, well, I just did what Steve and Tom said to do. I just did what other successful people were doing. They said, do this. And I did that. They said, say this. And I said that. So there was a huge degree of trust, you know, on Derek's part. And that's what I've seen with so many of the people in our academy right now, the ones that are fricking crushing it. I mean, dude, keep names out of it. We have general contractors, you know this, that are selling work right now and producing it at 60% gross profit, subbing everything out, you know? And you ask the average general contractor, there's no way you can get more than a 20. I can't market up this, and I can't do this. And I'm just blown away but when I look at the common denominator, the people that are like that, having that success, they're truly just looking at the other people that are a half a lap in front of them, a little bit more successful, and they're just doing what they're seeing. They're doing what they're coached to do. And it's crazy because it works. And I'm blown away by it half the time. I really am. I'm like, damn, you know.
It's like when you blindly follow a leader and that leader has really great intentions, you know, without putting all these preconceived notions in your head, negative notions in your head, just do what they say. And Derek went from $3,000 in a bank account to $400,000 in a bank account over about a 5-year period, 4 or 5-year period. So it wasn't that much. And let me just bring up the other girl, Net, in our group that had zero. You know, we preach about a lot of things, and one of the things is about retirement, about saving for your retirement. And she had nothing in her bank account, and she started with $100 a week 4 years ago, and now has she saved $400,000 over a 4-year period.
Yeah, it's four and some change, because it's up in the fours. And I remember when she did that, and then she reached out to you, I think, before one of our calls and says, hey, Steve, remember when I said I was going to sock away $100 a week last year at the event you guys had? And we're like, yeah. She's like, well, we're supposed to have $5,200 because there's 5,200 weeks. And I believe they had just shy of $30,000 in the bank. And within 1 year, because they focused on the money, they built the habit that she calls it Money Monday. And that's what we've adopted in the group now. But what I see is, I think making money is like eating potato chips, man. I mean, you have a few of them, you want more. You know, it's like, and you realize, like, hey, this is a good thing. And so, and that's really what happened with her and some of the other people that we've talked about. All right, this is where I got to brag on us. And we didn't know if COVID was coming and all that shit. And the, you know, virtual thing was going to become a thing. We've been doing not in-person sales and coaching people and training them, hundreds of contractors, for years, way before all this shit happened. So we get bragging rights there. And it's funny, I've seen a huge, like, now it's the flavor of the month. It's a sexy thing. Every coach, consultant, this and that, they're trying to teach people how to sell on Zoom and FaceTime. And what I'm seeing is, because I've been a part of some of these sales calls as a consumer, is these contractor salespeople are taking their same bad habits that they had in the house or in the yard, and they're just putting it on camera. You know what I mean? And they're calling it a virtual estimate or whatever it is. So what is the, from your point of view, what's the big differentiator between what we teach and what's going on that's all sexy now in the virtual sales world?
This all started, quite honestly, the Sales Academy, with my desire to get my truck right out to somebody's house and have them be honest with me. I mean, really honest with me. And here's what honesty looks like. This is how I measure it. They either tell me yes and they give me a deposit check, or they tell me no and I leave their yard.
Yep.
But they don't give me that in between white lie of I want to think it over or any other thing. And then we all know where that goes, which is nowhere. You know, we start chasing around because, you know, I'm in business, man, and I don't have time to be chasing people around, ghosting me, and they don't want to be chased around, but they don't have the balls to tell me the truth. So this whole, let's have a conversation, an honest one, on the phone before I come out to your house. Because if I'm coming out there, I'm coming out there for only one of two results. And that conversation is hard to have. And I, you know, I know why it's hard to have, because I have to ask questions that could risk my relationship with that prospect. And that's a ballsy thing to do. Most of us, we just want to get in front of them and start the tap dance.
Yeah.
And I have the courage to ask the tough questions and risk our relationship. Risk the people who say, Steve, I can't do what you do. I can't say what you say. I'm like, why not? Because I won't get the job. Because they'll say no. Because they'll hang up because of this, because of that. And that's not true at all. That's their own bullshit head trash going on between their ears. It takes amazing amount of confidence to do what we're talking about. But I have five good reasons, if you want to hear them, Tom, why I think.
What are those five reasons?
One, you got to have the courage to fail. I mean, you got to be prepared. If you say, hey, if I come out to your house and it's the same 30,000 we're talking about now, what's going to happen then? And shut your mouth. Well, you know what? They might go, well, I'm going to say no. And then the conversation's over.
Yeah.
And then you feel like a failure as a salesman, right? You just, because that's what your head's telling you. All right. And when you do feel like a failure, you got to have the resilience. Number two is to get your ass back up. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Number three is you got to believe and be committed to a process. I never had a sales process. We never had a sales process. And now we have one. It's a five-step one. And I believe in the process because I went from like a 23 or 4% closure rate in the backyard now to 100. My first year I enacted it, I went to a 94% closure rate in the backyard because I was committed to that.
And let me explain that for the people that are listening, because what Steve's saying is the phone might ring, yours rings over 500-600 times a year for leads. And because of the phone, you're not running out there and meeting everybody, but the ones that you actually physically go see after our five-step process, you've 3 years running now, going on four, I think, isn't it, right? Yep. Four years running now, you are 100% collecting a deposit check when you go out to meet them, because as you've said before, the sale is actually made on the phone.
That's exactly right.
And
because I have the desire, that's number four. I have a true wantingness. Is that even a word? Wantingness?
Sure, it is now, man.
A desire.
We are wordsmiths.
I really want only to move my ass from my office to go collect a check. That's really that's what we all want.
Right.
I mean, some won't admit it. They go, no, I'd be happy with 80%. Well, why would you be happy with 80% if you could get 100%?
Yeah.
But we all want every job that we want, and we want to get the good jobs. We don't want the crappy jobs. So that's really all I'm trying to do. And the fifth and the final step, and this is everywhere, this is business life, but in this thing here, is just called discipline. It's the discipline to do what you know you have to do, even when they say no, even when it's snowing outside, even when the shit hits a fan, even when you don't feel like it. You got to have the discipline to just do the crap no one else wants to do.
All right. So out of these five, where do you see the average contractor blowing it the most or the biggest way?
I really don't believe that they have the courage to fail, especially in the beginning, over and over and over. This is why people join any group on this planet, I don't care which one, and they quit immediately. Or within a month or two, they quit a group because they have talked themselves into this won't work. Mm-hmm. Because when you start anything in life, you're not going to start at the top of the heap. You got to start at the very bottom of the heap and get your ass kicked repeatedly a few times in a row.
Yeah.
Get your ass back up and keep at it. And they quit before the good part comes.
Yeah, I see that with the process. A lot of guys they'll jump in, be excited to do this process, and they'll get kicked in the teeth a few times, and then they revert back to their old ways if they don't have the discipline, like you talked about, to keep trusting the process that works. You know, you have to. I mean, you talked years ago. We did a thing at Aquascape, and you had a golf club, and you used the analogy: if you're going to go get golf lessons, they're going to ask you to adjust your grip, you know, and your stance, and all that other shit. Well, we all know that the first few times you adjust your grip, you're not going to swing as good. You know, you're probably going to be worse in some areas, you know, but if you trust the coach, if you trust the person who has the success, who's been there, who's done it, who's actually gone through that. Cause what you were on this show like 2 years ago or something, two and a half years ago. I don't know if you remember that. We did an episode, and I don't remember if we covered this then, but when you created your five steps that you just kind of took from things you really wanted the truth on, and now we got the Shin Fu steps, you were a spinning instructor at a gym, and you actually practiced in a shitty manner your own five steps, adjusted your grip like 60 to 70 times with your people in the spinning class, like you were role-playing with them and stuff. Tell us about that, because that's what, like, this is you getting in the batting cages, right? It's going to the driving range.
Yeah. So this whole thing starts off with sort of a five-step script, if you will. Not an exact script, but five steps that you got to work through. And so I practice those five steps, a sales script or pitch. You can say what you want, but I am learning to gain five bits of information out of every prospect before I'm going to drive out there. And I practiced on my spinning class. There's 20 people in a class. They line up. I'm the Mr. Pump Me Up guy with the microphone and the music going. And I'm like, I'm learning this new sales technique, and I want to practice on you. So one of them would play the client, and I would sell them whatever they wanted me to sell them. And then I would ask everybody else at the end to critique me. Hey, how did it sound? Did I sound like a used car salesman? Did it sound for real? And they would say, no, man, that sounded like a regular conversation, a regular good conversation. And so that's how I practice it first. Then the next thing I did was sign up for a home advisor. Oh my God, they threw 65 leads at me that were 65 Walmart tire kickers.
Yeah.
Well, I take it back, 64 of them. One lady bought from me.
Yeah.
So I got 64 no's before I got my 65th yes. And I was willing to persevere, go through the process before the light bulb came on. And that was hard, man.
I forgot about that one. I remember the spinning thing. And I'm just sitting there putting myself, because I've been in that room. I took your class once. Brad Barton and I, we were out there. Remember that? We went and Brad did magic or whatever and during the class. But so I'm picturing the room, and I'm going, I don't know if I would have had the balls to do what you did like that, to just put it out there going, hey, I'm working on my sales process. Who wants to role play with me? And you did it 60 something times. I mean, those of you listening with a microphone, those of you that are listening to this right now, think about, just put, what's the boldest thing you've ever done to get better as a salesperson? Because Steve, you know, everybody listening to this thing, for the most part, they're contractors. They're comfortable with the tool belt, and they're comfortable talking about spray tips and fucking this and that, right? And how they're going to cut something or install something. But the minute we get outside of our comfort zone and we start learning a new skill, sales or the numbers of your business or how to be a marketer or communication, whatever it is, we can easily say, fuck this, and go back to what we're comfortable with, you know? And so I just give you kudos for persevering through that. And then the death by home advisor experience, you know, but it sharpened you.
It's called the pain of same. When the same shit you're doing over and over is producing results that just drive you up a wall. When you get sick and tired of that pain, then you will decide to learn something new. And that's all I was. I was so sick and tired. And understand, here's the crazy part. I don't even know if this is relevant, but I don't even need the money. I've had just a couple of successful businesses. So this is not about making money for me. This is about, God damn it, these people told me on the phone, I'm going to be the contractor that they pick. And I run out there to get picked. And what do they say? I'm not picking you.
Yeah.
But they don't say I'm not picking you. They go, you know what? Just go away. I want to think about this and just, you know, go on Hope Island and just swim around a few times and I'll get back to you. And I just got tired of being treated poorly, being treated like I was a piece of meat, just like shit. And I got tired of that. And so for me, this was all about, I want to hold people accountable for their actions. And all I'm asking is, Tom, you could tell me yes, you could tell me no. It's up to you. Just don't lie to me.
Yeah, so you just triggered something in my head that I've heard you say probably 1,000 times since we've been partners. And I will close with this because I think this will probably be one of the most important things somebody hears today is this process that we're doing is rooted in seeing your own value as a human being. Speak to that because you have lit the room on fire with this through the years. And I think this is something that this audience, they're usually used to me yelling and screaming here and telling them to fuck off and get their heads out of their asses. And the contractor fight was founded with the goal of bringing respect and dignity back to the trades. And so I know you have some thoughts on that whole topic.
I'm going to do it without yelling and screaming this time.
All right, man.
So let me just, here's my Steve's thoughts is that I'm a human and I deserve respect like you deserve respect. And because my job is a contractor, it's a respectful job. I do good on this planet. Okay. And I deserve to have a good life. I deserve to be able to send my kids to private schools if I want, or save enough money for college. I deserve to have a good retirement and to be able to save enough money. I deserve to make enough money so my life is good and my family's life is good. I deserve all these things. And I think you deserve all these things too. But yet somehow along the way, somebody made up some rule that these people with the jobs and the money out there can just treat us with a lot of disrespect. Mm-hmm. And I don't stand for that. That is not the way this world's supposed to work. On just a humanistic level, on the most basic level, you are supposed to do good by other human beings on this planet. And I just got tired of them beating me up. And I just want a fair shake. And if I'm going to get all these things that I feel I deserve in life, like most people do, then I got to stand up for myself. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's how we came up with the Shin Fu. And that's the only reason you and I even became partners, was to help these poor contractors who have just a lot of head trash they carry around, who currently accept that uneven equation, human to human. I'm just trying to make it an even equation. That's all.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about you got sick and tired of being treated like that and stuff. And I'm sitting here going, you most likely have more money than all the people that were treating you like shit. And we're not going to get into it here, but you built and sold other businesses, made millions and all this other shit. Like, here you are, this multimillionaire standing in the yard with somebody and they're disrespecting you. And it's just funny, the irony of, you know, that whole thing. Cause it's, so you were in that spot financially, but for you, it was more of it's a human being thing. Like you said, it's not a money thing. It's a human being thing. I don't care what my economic status is, I deserve to be treated with respect, as do they.
Let me tell a quick story. This was 35 years ago when I had a lifeguard business, and I was making 35 years ago about $500,000 a year back then. And I'm at the bottom, acid wash in the bottom of a deep end in a swimming pool, and some property manager who's making 50 grand a year, he walks up to me and he starts yelling at me that I'm a piece of shit. My company's a piece of shit. All the lifeguards, because we didn't clean his swimming pool up according to the way he wanted it cleaned up. And he felt entitled to scream at me like I already feel bad because I'm in the bottom acid wash in a swimming pool 10 feet in the ground, right? I don't feel that great. And like, I
guarantee you were the highest paid guy on his knees washing with acid anywhere in the world that day.
Yeah, probably. But I remember looking at him going, if he's really pissed, he's just screaming at me. This is what I'm thinking to myself. But if he knew that I make 10 times the money he makes, he'd really be pissed at me. So I was okay with it on that level. But on another level, I'm like, no one human being deserves to be treated like this by another human being. And I'm just trying to even the sides up.
Yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate you hanging out today. I know you and I could shoot the shit forever. And, you know, in a few hours, we'd bust out the tequila and then we'd go even longer. Any parting words before we get out of here? Guys, I'll get y'all links in the show description and all that other stuff here at the end. You know, if you all want to check out a little more about what we got going on over at the Sales Academy. But Steve, you got another minute or so to say anything you feel like you left out.
Just this. I am and have always been a blue-collar contractor. I just figured out how to make money. Not the easy way, the very hard way, but I figured out how to make money. Now I figured out how to actually sell to people. So when I'm telling you things, it's coming from a below average, I believe, of intelligence guy, blue collar my entire life, who just figured it out. I have a business now that I'm running, and everything I'm telling you and talking about is just my life's experience. That's it. I've done it. It works. No bullshit.
Well, I love it, man. And like I said, I appreciate you carving out the time to make this happen. I know we got a good thing going over there. Got a great group of people. I think what I'm most proud of, and this is where I'm just going to brag on you and me for a minute here, somehow, and I don't know if we did this on purpose, but I'll still brag on us. Somehow we created a group of people that to me is the most engaging, committed, giving group of people I have ever been around when it comes to, like, there's no judgment. Everyone's in each other's corners. We push each other hard. And what's cool, man, is it's our members. Like, seriously, like, you and I have somehow done this by just being ourselves, not trying to bullshit anybody. And over the past 6 years or so, it's created this group of people that truly would lay in traffic for one another. I am blown away. That's probably my biggest surprise. And let's end with that, with our biggest surprise. My biggest surprise is how they all have come for sales, and then they all, you know, end up being, like, in my mind, the most close-knit, giving group of people I've probably ever seen.
And you know where that started? I tell you exactly how it started. When you and I were just talking about becoming partners, mm-hmm. You remember the rules I laid down for, okay, Tom, you want to be a partner with me? There are some rules. And the biggest rule of all was I am going to speak what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You may not like it sometimes, but I am going to bring up because as soon as you and I stop communicating, our mm-hmm. partnership will break down.
Yep.
And you were like, let's go. And you and I, as uncomfortable as it might be, talk to each other about the real shit that we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And that permeates all the way down to the very member. So they know when they come in this group, they have to speak up and tell the truth. And everybody else comes along with no judgment because they know they used to be that person.
Yeah.
And we just created a climate where truly most members in our group will tell you that this is the set of people on this planet that they're closest to, the one they can tell stuff to when they can't even tell that stuff to their own spouse. Because our group comes with open, non-judgmental thinking.
I think that's a surprise. You got to share your biggest surprise here in a second. I think that's a surprise for a lot of people that come into the group because they might see or hear us on our podcast where we're, you know, being all, and all this other stuff. And then they come in. I think a lot of people are actually surprised at how, I don't want to say mellow because mellow is the wrong word, but accepting maybe is a better word. And I think as a whole, we do a pretty good job of trying to understand everybody's story and their context. And I've heard that a few times. People are surprised. They're like, I thought we were going to join this thing. You were just going to yell at us the whole time. All right. Your biggest surprise.
By far, my biggest surprise is when I started this business with you, I thought I was going to be a business coach and a sales coach. And I realized that I'm really a shrink. Most of these issues that most contractors have, they just show up in their business, but that's not the root cause of their problems. Their root cause of their problems are head trash that they learned a long, long time ago about the value of money, about the fair treatment of human on human interaction. And we have to change that. Mm-hmm. It's their attitude. It's what goes on between their ears. And I was not prepared for that. I just thought it was going to be one thing and it turned out to be the other thing. But the best positive outcome of all of that has been everybody comes in for a business reason. But when they leave or they in for a while, they say, but this is really a life coach. This is really a life group. It's not just a business group. Because if you fix the one thing that's wrong somewhere in your life, typically all the other things fall in line and fix themselves.
Yeah. And that one thing here in the sales process is how to communicate, right? Yeah. How to be a great communicator. And so it's not surprising that we get all the time, I came into this group 8 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever it does. And it saved my marriage. I mean, how many fucking times have we heard that? It's crazy. Yep. Or it's made my relationship with my kid better or whatever. Like I said, we can go on, but dude, appreciate you being here. And I look forward to the next six. See what the hell we can do.
I appreciate you. And thanks for being my partner, man. It's been a good ride and looking forward to six more years of it.
Likewise, buddy. Fighters, if anything you heard today about conquering your sales piqued an interest in you to check out Contractor Sales Academy, I want to encourage you to go right to that domain, ContractorSalesAcademy.com, and you can learn a little more about what we got going on there and the community that Steve and I talked about here today on the show. We're super proud of it. We're super proud of the types of human beings that are in it and how they give to one another. And I tell you, I would be promoting the shit out of this even if I wasn't an owner, okay? In fact, my partners could kick me out tomorrow, and I would still tell y'all to check into the Contractor Sales Academy because there's a lot of good stuff happening there to help you get your head right, quit stealing from your family, be a better communicator, make more money, and overall have better relationships. So head to ContractorSalesAcademy.com, and we'll see you guys next time.